evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Nova M Radio. How you doing? Thanks for joining us tonight for the program. Hope you're going to stick around for the entire 3 hours. I know you have better things to do, but what the hell, right? The phone number here is 800-989-1480 if you feel inclined to phone in tonight. Tony Snow held an off-camera press gaggle today, so we will not be torturing you with any of his comments. And Dick Cheney was somewhere in the Far East, Japan, I'm not sure. He gave an interview from wherever he was, and both Tony Snow and Darth Vader insisted that the British troop withdrawal is what they've wanted all along. And they are just happy as a pig in slop to see that happen. And of course, that raises the question, when the UK pulls out its troops, it's a good sign. But if the United States talks about pulling out our troops, or if members of our Senate pass a resolution calling for a de-escalation, that would be a disaster. It would be admitting defeat. It would be cutting and running. It would send the wrong message to a determined enemy. It would undermine the Iraqi democracy. It must be weird. Well, maybe not. Maybe it's not weird at all, except to an outside observer, to see these people living in what Bush called the beautiful White House, in the middle of this bizarro fantasy land. I don't know, man. I watched quite a bit of the discussion in the British House of Commons today. I believe that was the House of Commons, where Tony Blair laid out his, his decision and why he decided to do it and so on and so forth. And I just can't imagine anything like that, obviously, ever occurring in our parliament. On a different subject here, I got up this morning and read Maureen Dowd's column. Now, sometimes I like what she writes, but most of the time I think she's just kind of pissy. You know what I mean? She really has a thing for the Clintons. I think one of the reasons she dislikes Bill Clinton so much is he never grabbed her ass. I honestly know that's a very sexist thing for me to say, but I've been reading her since all the way back in 1998 when the noise started to build about Bill and his girlfriend. And I swear to God, I get the feeling that part of the reason was that Bill did not pay enough attention. Maybe grab her ass was the wrong expression. Oh God, here come the emails, right? And Kathy's looking at me like I just committed some sexist faux pas. All right, but I believe it, okay? I believe that's one of the reasons she has such a sore spot where it concerns Bill Clinton, where it concerns Hillary. I think Maureen Dowd doesn't like Hillary because Hillary, if anything, I don't care what else you have to say, she is a very, very, very intelligent woman. She understands political science. She understands the field she has gotten into probably better than any politician other than the non-ass-grabbing husband of hers, Bill Clinton. So I read Maureen Dowd's column this morning, and it's like, what? I get a little window into a world that doesn't exist for me, and obviously never will. The world of Jeffrey Katzenbach and David Geffen and, the real billionaires out in Hollywood. And Barack Obama. And now this is Bill Clinton's former rat pack, but they've decided they like Barack. Now, I don't know why. Maybe because they work in fantasy land and put out images in the dream machine for the American public to consume. I have no idea why these people have decided that they're going to go with Barack Obama. They raised, I think, $1.5 million. Is that $1.2 million at a party the other night? And so I'm reading this and I'm thinking, why is the? And then Maureen Dowd is talking about some of the things that David Geffen said, like he can't stand the Clintons anymore. I'm paraphrasing, but he more or less said that. And one of the reasons is every time Hillary is active, he said, what's his name? The Raging Cajun gets on the air, Carville, and he can't stand Carville anymore. So you know, I'm reading this thing, I'm thinking, God, this has a flavor to it, an echo to it, and I couldn't quite put my finger on it. But then later on during the day, not that much later, I was watching Don Imus. So Imus and his crew bring up the story about Maureen Dowd's column. All of a sudden this afternoon, we had just come back from visiting a little preschool to maybe get Molly enrolled this fall. And maybe it was hanging out in the preschool with 20 or 30 of these little urchins. Among them was mine. You know, God, you get around 30 little 3 and 4 and 5 year olds. It's just like hair pulling time, right? You know what I mean? As much as you love them. But all of a sudden it occurred to me on the ride home. That's what these people, this is like nursery school. At first I thought, no, it's high school. No, it's nursery school. Who went to whose party last night? Who was there? Did you hear what so-and-so said about who's it? Yada, yada, yada. So there they are, Clinton, Obama, and Maureen Dowd, and the pundits, and they're all talking, all right, high school, all right, middle school. There they are, talking about this party. Oh, my God, did you hear what David said? No, what did David say? Oh, he said he thinks Bill Clinton is still off his rocker, still skirt chasing, still doing his grab ass. Well, why do you think he likes Obama? I don't know why he likes Obama. Maybe because he's part, African. Could that be? Well, I don't know. You think that? Well, oh, God. And the party. Jesus, did you see who was there? No, who was there? All kinds of stars with Jennifer, friends Jennifer. Who is it? Aniston. I don't know the names. Jennifer Aniston was there. And this one was there, and that was there. And did you see what they were wearing? No, what were they wearing? Oh, God, I bet you Hillary's back in New York someplace. I bet she is just frosted today. So this is the way it went. All day. Either that or the Anna Nicole Smith trial. And I'm sitting here thinking, holy Christ on a stick. No wonder we're in the condition we are in. I mean, it hasn't even been 72 hours that the Washington Post broke the most scorchingly painful story about American soldiers coming back from Bush's mad war and all the hell that they are having to deal with, and nobody cares. And here, cable news today. Oh, my God. Well, did you see who was there? Oh, no, what did she say? Oh, God, did we even say that? Oh, Jesus, God, can you believe it? Well, I don't know. David Geffen and Jeffrey Katzen back, and who's the other one? SKG. Who's the Steven Spielberg? You know, man, they own Hollywood. Oh, my God. And they don't want anything to do with Bill and Hillary. They don't want Hillary. David said he doesn't want Hillary because he's afraid Bill will show up. Really? Oh, God, this is so... These are adults? These are adults? Astonishing. Just astonishing. So that's how my day was today. How was yours? And because of that, I think I'm in kind of a foul mood. Yeah, I know. What makes this night different from all other nights? No. All right, we've got a couple of toe ticklers here. That's what they're called in the radio business. And then we'll get to the hardcore stuff. And a lot of your phone calls tonight, so... we do invite you, and I'm serious tonight because, I've just been going off a little bit too much here, screaming and yelling and carrying on at night. Not that, you know, I'll do it again, but let's get some phone calls in here. By the way, right before the program, we got a bulletin. Ted Haggard is still heterosexual.
I don't dissect everything today. I don't mean to pick you apart, you see, but I...
for me in the, you know, living in the this beautiful White House to give you an assessment, a first-hand assessment. I haven't been there. You have. I haven't. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I have no idea. That's why I'm sending another 21,500 people to go die. Oh, my God.
Am I missing something, or didn't the giant turkey go to Iraq and parade around with a giant plastic turkey?
Like we talked about last night, Catherine, either that happened or it didn't happen. It might have been a soundstage, some military base in the United States. So I don't know. Yeah, he says he's never been there. The rationale by the mainstream media that still likes to do for Bush what Monica did for Bill is, well, he really wasn't in Iraq. He was in the green zone. Cheney also today was on an aircraft carrier, and BuzzFlash has a little piece on this. BuzzFlash.com, I'm sure you're familiar with it. On May 1st, 2003, George Bush stood on a U.S. aircraft carrier and declared mission accomplished. Nearly 4 years and a few thousand American deaths later, Cheney went aboard another aircraft carrier today to announce, "We want to complete the mission." Wouldn't you like to do something awkward? See, I can't complete the sentence because to the NSA freaks that are listening in, bite me. Oh, no, wait, that's an Ed Schultz term. I can't use that. Cheney wasn't wearing a flight suit, but what, pray tell, is our mission these days? First it was finding the weapons, then getting Saddam, then giving democracy to the Iraqi people. Yada, yada, yada. So we found the weapons, all right, none of them. Publicly executed Saddam, okay. Ordered an election that installed the government, Bush's own national security advisor, thinks he's incompetent. What is Cheney want to complete next? Huh? BuzzFlash writes, Republicans blast Democrats for not supporting the troops, but Bush is the one keeping them in a civil war without any defined goal or purpose. In addition to the rubbish about completing the mission, Cheney said, we want to get it done right, and then we want to come home with honor. Genius. Our troops can't complete the mission and come home if they don't have a mission, can they? And even if they did, the Bush administration has been hard at work making sure they would not be able to do it right. And then Cheney added, American people will not support a policy of retreat. Well, call it what you want, but the reality is that a majority of Americans adamantly favor a new mission. Get the blank out of Iraq. You almost have to feel sorry for Cheney. It must be months since they've shown a public opinion poll on Fox News. Oh, man. It's incredible. Either Cheney is insane or he thinks we are. The way this continues. Here's another little toe tickler. A bill introduced by Republican Lamar Smith, Republican member of Congress from Texas, introduced a bill in the House of Representatives that would require ISPs, Internet Service Providers, to record all users' surfing activity, including the porn sites you go to, the hate letters you send, the IM conversations, and your email traffic. It is to be preserved indefinitely. Now, the bill is dubbed the Safety Act. The Internet Safety Act. It would impose fines and a prison term of 1 year on ISPs that failed to keep full records. Can you believe that? The bill includes a separate clause that would force the owners of sexually explicit websites to include warning labels on their web pages or face jail. Well, I'll tell you right now, any porn site I've ever been to has a huge warning. It has things like, do not enter if you're under 18. So I don't. I just go there for the articles. Can you believe this? Of course you can. Never mind. What I'd like to know is how did this little rat bastard from Texas get a bill introduced? I thought that the Democrats could never get a bill introduced in the U.S. House when they were in the minority because of the evil machinations of Denny Hastert and the rest of these clowns, thugs, and killers disguised as Republicans, or Republicans disguised as thugs and killers. But this guy gets it right in there, Lamar Smith. Where do they find out that he's a child molester, right? You know it's coming. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
I don't email, however. And there's a reason. I don't want you reading my personal stuff.
Don't be left out. Join your friends at the NSA and Homeland Security and listen to Mike Malloy every single night. They never miss a minute.
Where are we? We're right here. Where are you? The Catholic Church does not have an exclusive franchise on lawsuits regarding sex abuse of parishioners. No, indeed. And now the victims' advocates who went after the Roman Catholic Church over sex abuse is turning its attention, or are turning their attention, to the Southern Baptists. Oh, God, it just doesn't stop, does it? We have a situation here in Atlanta. A guy used to be a Southern Baptist. What's his name, Kathy? Earl Polk, the Bishop Earl Polk. It's a weird-looking white man. He looks like, I don't know what he looks like. But he's had sex charges leveled against him for the past 30 years. The only plus, if it is a plus, is that he hasn't been accused of molesting children. It's always women in his congregation, his former congregation, who used to come to him and for marriage counseling. God. But now they're going after the Southern Baptists because, according to the victims' advocates, the Southern Baptists, America's largest Protestant denomination, is failing to root out molesters. Now, this is the Chicago-based Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests. SNAP. Do you like that? That's the acronym that they use. Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests. SNAP. They have started a campaign to call attention to alleged sex abuse committed by Southern Baptist ministers and concealed by churches. Now, the church leaders in the Southern Baptist Convention concede that there probably have been some incidents of abuse in Southern Baptist congregations, but they say their hands are tied, so to speak, when it comes to investigating complaints. Ooh, this sounds so much like the Catholics, doesn't it? However, their rationale, if it's rational, is that unlike the Catholic Church with its rigid hierarchy, Baptist churches are independent. Baptist leaders say each church makes its own decision about hiring ministers and conducting investigations and so on and so forth. A SNAP member from Austin, Texas, says they don't want to see this problem. That's tragic because they're imitating the same mistakes made by Catholic bishops. Now, this is news because in the past 6 months, SNAP has received reports of about 40 cases of sexual abuse by Southern Baptist ministers. That's a real serious thing to me. You know, if you want this article, it's at CNN.com. Sex abuse victims advocates go after Southern Baptists. Using a position of religious power and authority to sexually abuse or molest someone to me is one of the most evil things that a so-called priest or minister or rabbi or imam or whoever can do. Because they're using a transcendent authority to get someone's pants off. And I just find that hideously vile, don't you? The other night I brought up this refusal of Americans to accept science as a foundation for life and instead go for the preternatural, the supernatural, the hogwash, spooks, ghosts, elves, although there are fairies. There are fairies, but that's not, that's a whole different subject. I'm talking about the little winged creatures. No, I'm not talking about Ted Haggard. Jesus, stop it. And the basing moves that they make on astrology, nothing against astrologers, if that's what you do for a living. I find astrology kind of interesting and fun, and every once in a while, if I'm at a fair or a carnival and there's someone there, $5 and they'll do your chart or whatever, sure, I'll do it. But I damn sure don't take it seriously. I just don't. It's amusement. So Kim heard that and wrote in. You asked why people are believing more and more in things like astrology and palm reading and alien abductions and invisible gods. Well, Americans are also watching TV more, playing video games more. It's all escapism, Mike. People wake up every day to horror and despair and frustration and feelings of helplessness, and they look for hope, and not finding hope, they seek escape. But what they're really doing is escaping responsibility and hoping somebody else will make things different, make things better, make the problems go away. Grown-ups ask fortune tellers to tell them what to do, or they blindly trust in some diviner on a stage or a pulpit to interpret the writings of wackos who thousands of years ago believed that some invisible, all-powerful super daddy wanted them to tell us all how to live. We should stone women to death if they go outside while impure. We can't eat rabbits because they chew a cud, and so on and so on. The truth is, it's hard to make things better. It takes real effort to stand up, to speak out, to put words into action, to fight fascism, to educate the ignorant, to regain our faltering rights, to keep the government and the church out of our private lives, to do anything other than watch that TV, play that game, listen to that babbler who says, trust, don't think, and believe that we should all just sit down and shut up and do our 9-to-5s and everything will be just fine. Someday, sometime. Trust me, nothing will ever get better as long as the megalomaniacs run the show. Gotta go. I need some chocolate. Kim. Let's bring in one of our callers here. Where are we? I feel kind of lost tonight. I guess it's the Maureen Dowd thing just totally discombobulated me today, reading that first thing in the morning and watching Don Imus. He said goddamn on MSNBC this morning. He actually said it. He said some other things, too, that curse words, sloppy language, lazy language is what my English teacher used to call it, lazy language, high school English teacher. But he said the GD word. He accused everybody in the Bush administration of being, what did he say, war criminals. And then he had David Brooks on, one of the right-wing pundits from the New York Times. I'm beginning to like that show more and more, even though I think he's kind of a egomaniacal freak. But it's an interesting show. John is calling from Virginia. Hi, John. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Michael. I admire you so much. Your passion, the only thing I worry about is your passion. It seems to debilitate you at times.
Yeah, well.
But you are a voice in the wilderness, and we need more like you and people like Tom Hartman. People are educated as to what's going on.
Yeah, Hartman Hartman goes for the brain. I go for the gut. And
that's true.
Between the two of us, we probably make a pretty good combination.
You really do. And although you both get passionate at times and you both get intellectual at times. But what I wanted to say was we have fascists running our government right now, and it's been and it's no secret. Their interests are not ours. And the only way it seems to me we could correct this is through public financing of elections. I mean,
yeah.
Until that takes place, I'm not sure anything else really of import is going to get done.
Well, that you and I both know, I think we both know this, John, that's never going to happen. We have tried public financing of elections.
Yeah.
That you still, I think, can check the little box on your income tax form to donate a couple $3 into the pool. But we've turned the corner. We are no longer a democratic republic. We really are not. And the moment we turned the corner is when corporations were declared by the Supreme Court to have the same rights as individuals. When that occurred, democracy or representative government or the democratic republic, whatever we were prior to that, we were no that ruling. We no longer were that subsequent to that ruling. So and you can't put the genie back in the bottle. Supreme Court is not going to unrule that corporations have the same rights, you notice, not obligations, but the same rights as humans. So as far as that's concerned, we're screwed. You got to come up with something besides that, John.
Oh, I thought that we can go back and have legislation. Corporations are not breathing people. They don't have
no.
any rights.
Yeah, no, that's why the ruling by the Supreme Court granting corporations the right of freedom of speech and so on and so forth was an obscenity. It was an absolute obscenity. And that goes back, I don't know, 30, 40 years. It's an old ruling. But that was the moment that the Supreme Court put the dagger into the heart of our system of government. That was it. That's the day it ended.
There's no one doing that, you're saying.
Doing what?
There's no going back on that. I mean, we can't
Very seldom does the Supreme Court take a look at a ruling that it already ruled on, or a previous Supreme Court, and actually do something. It does occur a couple of times in history, but it is very rare. Hey, I got to leave it there. John, thanks. I appreciate you checking in, pal. Take care. We'll be back after the break.
My heart is fine. Our energy policy has never been compromised.
We're hurting now that we need you. Ken Starr.
Kenny Boy should invoke his fifth dimension rights.
Bush and Cheney's and Ron Money Buddies. This time they went too far.
What is Enron anyway?
Remember back when they kept whining about Clinton lowered the moral bar.
Do not go gently into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
Oh, that was nice. From Vicky, usually I like you, but why did you make that typically male remark about Maureen Dowd? Should we assume that every guy who dislikes her does so because she never grabbed their ass or whatever body part? You are right now trying to cover your ass. Kathy is probably giving you the look, and she should be. Well, the answer, I guess, without being a smartass here, the answer is in the question. Yeah, I'm typically male. I've tried to murder the male inside of me that is a result of growing up a white male in the United States of America in the 50s and 60s and 70s. And I've tried to murder that rotten son of a bitch so many times. Just can't do it. So occasionally, yeah, when I see a woman walking down the street, I damn sure don't look at what books she's carrying, Victoria. Sorry. What, you want to add something?
I just keep thinking of those Little Caesars commercials. Wow, lady, you got a lot of pepperoni in your bread.
Yeah, right. Look, Victoria, if I offended you... what can I say? I offend somebody every night, more than one somebody. And as far as Maureen Dowd and Clinton, I thought I explained it. I'll try one more time, then we're moving on. I had the impression going back 8 or 9 years from reading Maureen's coverage of the Clintons that the subtext to a lot of what she wrote was an unbridled lust for Bill that was never actualized. And I think that's one of the reasons. That's just my opinion, sweetheart. There's another sexist comment for you. That's just my opinion that that's one of the reasons she is Maureen Dowd persistently smarmily attacks in print the Clintons, which is fine. Like, I give a damn. But, you know, who she attacks, I find it amusing, which is what you should have found my comment. Yeah?
I thought you married me for my radio skills.
Britain, Denmark, and Lithuania have raised their middle fingers to Bush and said, we're going home. Britain will withdraw 1,600 troops from Iraq, probably by the summer, aiming to cut its 7,100 troops below 5,000 by late summer. The number, it says here, Blair told the House of Commons today, the actual reduction in forces will be from the present 7,100, which is itself down from over 9,000 2 years ago and 40,000 at the time of the conflict to roughly 5,500. That's what Blair told the House of Commons. As far as Denmark said today it will withdraw its 460-member contingent from southern Iraq by August. The prime minister of Denmark said that Denmark would replace those troops with surveillance helicopters and civilian advisors. And Lithuania is getting ready to withdraw its 53 troops from Iraq. So the coalition of the willing is becoming the coalition of the wide awake. And with the exception, I think, does Nicaragua still have 8 people there, and the Mariana Islands have 3? And who else? I think Poland still has 6 or 2. Who else is there? Oh, that's right, the Australians. They will be next. John Howard's government is extremely right-wing. Well, John Howard is, anyway. So I've been told by our listeners in Australia. But the Australian people have had enough of this crap, just like the American people. But I love the way it was spun today, didn't you? This is exactly what we'd like to see happen. Tony Snow and Cheney said, "Yep, this is it. It's honorable. It's wonderful. It's proof that this and that and thus and hoop-de-doo and snot burgers. Oh, we love it." What? But if we do that, you see, if members of the United States Senate do that, you see, then it's called cut and run. Cowardly. It's called the, not the IKEA option, but the, you know, if you break it, you own it. The Pottery Barn. Well, they're the same.
The IKEA option would be, you know, flat packages, you put it together.
Right. God, I hate IKEA.
I'll have to tell my funny Mike Malloy IKEA story one of these days.
Yeah, one of these days, but not for a while, because I'll be accused of something, just like I'm accused of being
anti-Swedish.
Anti-Swedish, right. Yeah, that's one of those things that, who was it that said so infamously a couple of weeks ago, and we had a lot of fun with it, said that something about Sweden and nothing is, oh, that's right, one of the callers said that Sweden is this poor socialistic state that was on the verge of just absolute suicidal bankruptcy, and they didn't make anything, they didn't produce anything, they didn't do anything. One of our more brilliant right-wingers who attempt to call this program and say something other than their first names, you know? Jesus, God.
Yeah, I guess they've never been to IKEA. Bah.
All right, we have... Oh, you better explain it very quickly. We were the first time we went to IKEA, Kathy and me, after they opened one here in Atlanta. It was just a madhouse. And, I mean, there must have been 30 million people crushed into this place. And if you've been to an IKEA, you know how they have it set up. So you have to keep moving. It's sort of like being in a cattle chute. You know, keep moving in the same direction. God forbid you should turn around. Like, I left my kid back to keep moving. And you got to keep going. And at one point, it just hit me. Jesus Christ, we're like sheep. So I started baaing, if that's the right word. Baa. And people were turning around. You know, they were putting down their $3 red wine glasses and their, those little tickets you take down to the big room to get your flat. What the hell are you? You buy a house in there, and it comes in a package about eight inches by 30 inches. Of course, it weighs 90 tons. And God forbid you don't have an engineering degree, you'll never put it together.
And don't you dare lose that little Allen wrench, or you're screwed.
Right. That's right. So that's all. That's the story. I'm just walking along with this huge herd of people. Bah! Or flock of people. Bah! 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 About seven past the hour, as it always is when I say welcome back. Condoleezza Rice, the shoe lady, is in, you remember her, she's kind of not been real visible lately. They've had her out and about. She's in Berlin, for you right-wing listeners, that's in Germany. She's in Berlin, and she described today as, her words, extremely unfortunate. A Russian general's threat to target Poland and the Czech Republic with missiles if they host American missile defense bases. the gall of our leaders, huh? We're going to put missiles right next door to you, but if you respond in any manner, it's extremely unfortunate. General Nikolai Solovtsov, Nick, head of Russia's strategic missile forces, said Monday at a news conference that Russia might train its missiles on the two countries if they accept a U.S. proposal to base 10 interceptor missiles in Poland and a radar facility in the Czech Republic. Rice said at a news conference in Berlin, quote, I think that was an extremely unfortunate comment. What they were supposed to say is, oh, we welcome the missiles. Yes, we do. We love missiles. Mm-hmm. The ones pointed at us are wonderful. We love them. She went on to say, anyone who knows anything about this knows that there is no way that 10 interceptors are a threat to Russia or that they are somehow going to diminish Russia's deterrent of thousands of warheads. She went on to say, this is a missile defense system for limited purposes. We've had the opportunity to explain that to Russia. I think everyone understands that with the growing Iranian missile threat, which is quite pronounced, that there needs to be ways to deal with the problem. Like what, Condoleezza Rice? Putting missile batteries in Poland? Do you know where it... Oh, never. Don't start screaming. Now... If you've been reading away, way away from the mainstream media, you know that China, India, and Russia are working out the initial parameters of an alliance to block the predatory moves of the United States and the European Union. I would imagine that they will welcome in most of the states of South America at some point. So Bush has done something incredible. He has reactivated the Cold War. There's an article in Mother Jones that says the Iraq effect. The Iraq War has increased terrorism sevenfold worldwide. Sevenfold. Go to MotherJones.com. It's there. And it's lengthy. Very long article. Bush has also provided the most fertile training ground for nascent terrorists, real terrorists, people who, you know, I have no problem with identifying people as terrorists. God knows we have enough acts of terror on this planet. But Bush has provided a petri dish for this terrorism virus in Iraq. The most recent example, a truck bomb that combined explosives with chlorine gas exploded in Baghdad today. That some are calling a new and deadly tactic by insurgents against Iraqi civilians. Now, they continue to shoot down our helicopters, but now they're using the types of weapons that we have tortured Jose Padilla to the point where he can't even defend himself in a court of law in this country. But, you know, Padilla didn't do anything. That was one of John Ashcroft's wet dreams. We got Jose Padilla, who is going to bring in a nuclear dirty bomb. Thank you, Jesus. So Bush is providing a perfect setting for the training of terrorists. That given the way things are going, unless several things happen, unless we get an administration in Washington that will deal honestly and forthrightly with the Israeli-Palestinian issue, which means telling Israel to sit down and shut the hell up for a change, until we have an administration that will deal with the reality of Syria and Lebanon, until we have an administration that will deal honestly with the fact that people in Jordan and Saudi Arabia and Kuwait, if you're not members of the royal family, you are a serf at best and a slave at worst, and stop with hypocrisy. Start treating Iran like the country it is. It is a country that is determined to be powerful, to be a world player. They are close to 100 million population. In order for any of this to happen, of course, Bush and Cheney and the rest of these vermin have to go. They have to go. But in the meantime, George W. Bush's policies, or Cheney's policies, or Douglas Feith's policies, or Richard Perle's policies, or Paul Wolfowitz's policies, or a combination of these rat bastards' policies, have given us Iraq. We run a promo at KPHX, our flagship station. I'm sure you've heard it. When someone talks to you about Iraq, and the voice lists all these things that the war in Iraq, what Bush has dumped on the American public, and not just the American public, but on the global public, because everybody is having to deal with this. Everybody. If Bush feels froggy in the next 4 or 5 days and jumps at Iran, or Israel decides it's now or never and jumps at Iran, there is no telling what's going to happen, Truth Seeker. There really isn't. There really isn't. Maybe it is time to immunize ourselves with hearings or whatever is going on in Florida about Anna Nicole Smith's body. And I heard someone say today that her body is deteriorating rapidly, decomposing rapidly. And when I heard that today, I just turned to Kathy and said, add your own punchline there if you want to, or just ignore it. But maybe that's why everybody is listening to not everybody, certainly not this audience, but why the media are so intent on putting that out there and this party with SKG and Obama and American Idol, of course, is to immunize us against facing what is about to happen. You think? Or is that a little bit too paranoid? I admit to being paranoid as well as being a typical white male sexist pig and racist. Yeah, I've said before, I'm a racist. I'm a sexist. I struggle against it all the time. That's the difference with me, I guess. I know a lot of you do, too. A lot of you guys who listen to this program, come on, I know you are, too. But as long as you fight against it, honestly and truthfully fight against it, you're redeemable. So the militants, as the New York Times calls them, are now using bombs with chlorine gas in Baghdad. Poison gas. And I saw something on, I think it was the New York Times Discovery Channel or whatever, about within the past few days, about how insurgents, I guess that's the right word, incipient terrorists, whatever their cause is, are looking at Iraq as the perfect place for training. And I think anyone will tell you, when you have a force like the one that existed in Vietnam and the one that exists here, a force and the one that exists in Palestine, a force that is willing by the scores to commit suicide in order to further their cause, kick out the invader, whatever. When you have a force willing to commit suicide, you are not ever going to defeat them. Dick Cheney, you dumb bastard.
Bush. When Georgie falls asleep, I creep into the Oval Office, sneak a ciggy, and turn on Mike Malloy. Then I reprogram Georgie's speed dial. The simple pleasures.
Past the hour, I got an email here from Mark in Melbourne, Australia, regarding John Howard, the Aussie Prime Minister. Mark writes, "Hi, Mike. Little Johnny Howard, lapdog of Bush and his co-fascist government, is finally getting hammered on two fronts in Australia. One is our continued involvement in the Iraq invasion and occupation, and also on David Hicks, who is the only Aussie still at Guantanamo Bay. He's been held there for 5 years. Two previous Labour Party leaders were hammered by the press and John Howard for saying we should not be in Iraq, and now they are proved right, and I'm still waiting to see the press and Howard's apology. Fat chance. On a related note, you might appreciate it. I took my son to see Roger Waters a few weeks ago, and in the concert, Roger had a giant pink pig flying around with Free David Hicks on one side and Impeach Bush Now on the pig's arse. It was fantastic, and Roger also hammered Bush and Company in a couple of other songs. The whole concert was sensational because of that, let alone all the Pink Floyd songs. Yeah, it's been a long time since I've been to. Last Pink Floyd concert I went to was the Division Bell tour, and that, oh my God, that was, 12 years ago? Here in Atlanta, they came through Atlanta. But enough about me. excuse me. Back to your phone calls. Bob is calling from Seattle. Bob, who waited and waited last night, and here you are. Thanks for calling back in, Bob. I think Bob's here, is he?
Oh, Mike.
Yeah. Hello.
Listen, I live in a residence in Seattle with 130 people.
And, oh, yeah?
And 70% of us are vets, you know, from World War II up until the present.
Wow.
Now, I have a neighbor who has a severe brain injury from an accident on the flight deck of an aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
And he had 100% service-connected disability. And periodically, you know, he had to go to have his benefits reviewed, you know?
Right, right.
So this guy's incapable of telling a lie, okay?
Right.
So the woman asked him flat out, "Do you drink?" And he said, "Yes, ma'am." Mm-hmm. They immediately cut his benefits,
because
every single penny.
Because he drinks?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. So
and
now,
this guy has the posture of the letter Z. He can barely walk. He can walk. He can express himself barely. His cognitive ability, he understands perfectly everything he hears, sees, hears, and reads. But if anyone really is being, I mean, this is really a tragedy.
All right, what's going to happen to him?
He's appealing. He's trying to get Senator Patty Murray here in Washington State involved in his case. You know, to help him out.
Is that a rule with the VA that if you drink, you don't get benefits? There's got to be more to the story. I mean, I never heard of such a thing. How do they tell people they can't have a drink?
Yeah.
Is he on some kind of medication?
He is on medication, yes. I don't know what medications he's on.
I mean, a type that would...
Because of the traumatic brain injury on the flight deck, you know, the aircraft.
Right. But what I'm saying is he on some sort of medication that would maybe prohibit drinking?
Possibly. I don't know for sure.
All right. So he's appealing, though. And,
yes.
And you're trying to get Senator Murray to help.
Yeah.
Well... You'll let us know how that turns out, right?
And this fellow's about 30 or 31 years old, and he's one of the nicest people you meet.
He was in the Iraq War?
No, he was discharged in 2000, and he was in his fifth year in the Navy. He was going to make it a career.
Oh, I see. He had and not in a combat situation.
And he had the accident on the flight deck. Yes.
I got you. Now, what is this place? You said you live with how many other people?
It's 130 residents, and 70% of us are veterans from World War II up until the present day.
Is this like housing for mostly for veterans? Is it public housing? What is it?
It's a residential care center.
Oh, okay.
They're for adults.
Yeah.
You know, in Seattle here.
Oh, okay. Is it nice to live there, or is?
Oh,
it...
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's a nice place.
So no complaints about that?
No, sir.
Yeah.
No, Mike, no.
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay myself. I'm hanging in there. I'm having a little trouble with the VA myself.
Yeah?
Well, because I was lucky enough not to have any service-connected injuries.
Yeah.
When I go to the VA here in Seattle, they treat me like the unwanted stepchild now.
You, well, of course.
Well, I'm previously from New York. I've only been here 7 months. And I used to complain about it in New York. But by comparison, New York treated me like a VIP compared to the way they treated me here in Seattle.
Well, maybe they need to get to know you and tell them a couple of jokes or carry your rifle with you. Bob, stay in touch, okay?
All right, Mike. Thanks.
All right, man. Take care. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
I'm writers and critics who prophesize with your pen. And keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no
don't go to bed angry. Let Mike Malloy do it for you on Nova M Radio.
It's about 25 before the hour. Sarge emails, and yes, they do cut benefits for drinking alcohol. I've seen it countless times, even though many drink because they hurt, and the VA doesn't meet their needs. See, if you aren't 100% disabled, you're trying to get your percentage up, and since many I dealt with think VA benefits are handouts, they don't mind cutting benefits. Veterans Administration administrators think that benefits are handouts. Jesus. Okay. Back to your phone calls. Leonard is calling from Glendale, California. Hey, Leonard.
Hi, how you doing there, Mr. Malloy?
Doing fine, Leonard. How are you?
Well, finally, for a change, I'm stepping outside the old apartment here. My ex-wife is visiting with my daughter, so I'm just glad. I just want to call thanks and you know, to
sounds like a happy moment.
Yeah, I'm having it, and it's just good to hear you putting the truth out there. I get so tired sometimes and exhausted. It's like, but I know we're making a difference, and all those beautiful people out there that are we're all going to work together to get our soldiers out of Iraq and maybe retake our government. I hope, and I don't know. I just want to call and say thanks. I'm just decompressing a little bit. Yesterday was pretty. I was listening to what was going on with the soldiers at Walter Reed, and
That was a horrible, horrible, horrible story in every one of its aspects. I've got a bunch of emails this morning from people who listened last night and just said it was a total bummer that we treat our veterans this way. Not we, you and I wouldn't do it. I mean, anyone with any kind of morality or ethical center would not treat our veterans that way, especially after sending them into a war for reasons that were just juvenile, childish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same reason a dog licks himself, because he can. Bush invaded Iraq, because he can. And it was a horrifying, horrifying story. I don't see how anyone could not be bummed out.
Well, hopefully, you've got all these big-wig politicians now that are, seemed like it got through. I mean, the publicity was so great. So all I can say is it's one thing that you actually defend your family when someone's, you know, trying to break into your house or doing something. But all I know is if, you know, somebody robs a bank and they come into my apartment complex and the police kill 20 or 30 innocent men, women, and children, it's not going to be collateral damage to me. And I don't think that term should be used when an F-16 drops a bomb and kills 30 men, women, and children who had nothing to do with the supposed terrorists. But anyways, thanks a lot, Mr. Malloy, and I can't thank you enough and Novam Radio and all the listeners out there for keeping the truth out there, you know, even though these fascists are trying to fool us to be the sheeple. I love you, man.
Yeah. Well, thanks, thanks, Leonard. I appreciate your call. Just call me Mike, please. everybody says that, you know, we all do. I think even the most, not even the most passive among us, and there is certainly tremendous value in passivity, but I think most people agree with what Leonard just said. If somebody comes into your home with the intent of doing damage to you or your child or your spouse or whatever, you're going to react. You really are. You're going to react one way or the other. You're either going to run or you're going to stand and fight. And most of us would stand and fight. The fight or flight response to a threat. It's in there. It's in the reptilian part of our brains, and let's hope it'll always be there. But that's exactly what the Iraqis are doing. A huge mechanistic force came into their country and destroyed it. Destroyed their dictator, destroyed their infrastructure, destroyed their antiquities, destroyed the carefully calibrated tension amongst the various factions in that country, destroyed it all, turned it into chunks of meat and blood and dead people and wounded, maimed, screaming into the night children. Yeah, that's what we did. And that's what our good friends the Brits did. And that's what the Aussies did. And that's what the Poles did. And that's what, the Coalition of the Willing. That's what we did. We went into their house and started killing them for no reason whatsoever. And this is where I have a very difficult time with the jingoism. You know, my country right or wrong. I can't do that. I certainly can't do that. And that's another reason I would like the troops withdrawn tomorrow, our troops, and any foreign troops out of there, because it is becoming impossible for me to feel sympathy for my own soldiers. It's becoming impossible as long as they're in that theater. Anybody can make the charge, well, Malloy, they didn't order themselves there. And I make the response to that is that we beat the world against the wall, beat their heads against the wall at Nuremberg, and made sure the entire world understood the difference between a legal and an illegal order. Made sure that the world understood that you can't say I was just following orders. So I hope the troops come home tomorrow, because in all honesty, it is extremely difficult for me to continue to say, yeah, I support the troops. When these guys come back and they're all shot up as a result of Bush's insanity, I feel just pity and sympathy and sadness. But when I see the pictures on television of able-bodied American soldiers marching through someone else's dusty, sad neighborhood, kicking doors open, hauling men, women, and children, terrified beyond belief, out into the street, aiming fully automatic combat weapons at their heads. I'm sorry. No. Those aren't my boys. Can't do it. So that's a reason, one of the major reasons, that I hope the troops come home tomorrow. Back to your phone calls. Ron is calling from Davis, California. Ron, welcome to the program. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Mike. How you doing, man? It's been a while since I've talked to you. I've been listening to you since day one.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you probably recognize my voice. I don't know. But I'll tell you, man, it's more like realistic pessimism. I think it's going to get worse, way, way worse. And I think that area that we now call Iraq, God knows what we'll be calling it 50 years from now.
Yeah, yeah.
And I really, I think when a nuke is released, it's pretty much over. And I don't see a way out of it. I think this is going swimmingly for the Bush and the neocons and AIPAC and the Israeli Likud, because they're in on it. They're connected at the hip with Bush, but they're behind the scenes. I think this is absolutely going perfectly for them. They've kept control chaos so they can make billions and billions. And I further think that we're going to be there, like, for example, 2008, November.
Mm-hmm.
It'll either be, we'll still be there, or Bush will have declared martial law, or World War III will have begun. A question I just want to raise to the audience, or anybody in general, is that it just dawned on me that Iraq has been pumping oil this whole time. And I came up with, I really lowballed the number on this, because I've studied peak oil and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And they've sold at least, if you just, you know, look at the figures and so forth, I would say at least $100 billion worth of oil since we went in there in March of 2003. And I would like to know what that's been spent on. I haven't a clue. No one ever talks about it.
It's probably been stolen by members of the Bush crime family with no feelings of remorse or regret. That's one of the reasons.
But nobody says a single word. It's as though the general public thinks, oh, they stopped pumping oil. They haven't. They're pumping over 1 million barrels a day right now. At one point, in 2003, they were pumping 2.2 million barrels a day out of Iraq.
But American media are not allowed to ask those sorts of questions.
No. So that's why I had to kind of guesstimate, because there's no way to get at the stats.
Right.
Have you heard of a book called American Hiroshima?
I have not.
Okay, this Christine Kraft of Sacramento, 1240,
right.
She knows the author very well. In fact, I know the author. He's in Davis, has a peace group called Freedom From War, www.freedomfromwar.com. And this guy was in military intelligence for 8 years, and he is incredible with all the issues. I mean, it's just mind-boggling. I was wondering if I could get him to, send you a book, if you would maybe give.
Yeah,
him
just
a
send minutes. Me send me an email address, or have Christine do it, or whatever, and maybe we can put him on. I very seldom do guests, but when the moment is
right, you can talk to him, you know.
Yeah, when the moment is right, though, I'm I do.
Well, he's the only guy that sort of understands me, because I research.
Well,
so
that would be that would be the reason I would book him on the program.
Okay. All right, cool. The other thing I got to tell you is I've had a lot of hip girlfriends in my life, but I've never had a hip wife like you do.
Oh, yeah?
So consider yourself lucky.
Oh, I do. I get up every morning and thank Odin for bringing Kathy.
Thank her hipness.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, listen, send me an email. Send me some information.
I'll get him to send you an email. I don't even have a computer.
Sounds good. All right,
okay.
Ron.
Thanks
a lot. Thanks for checking in.
All right.
Well, you certainly are raking in the compliments here tonight, aren't you? Good for you.
Yeah, and here I am without any Shakira to play right after that comment. Thanks, Ron.
Who is Shakira?
Hey, babe, hips don't lie.
Hips don't lie. Hips don't lie.
Mother, should I run for president? Mother, should I trust the government?
Oh, that's Shakira. It's about 9 before the hour. Back to your phone call. Scott is calling from Federal Way, Washington.
Yeah, you know, I just, you know, with this T-Net crowd talking about this run-up for Iran, I just want to just take a brick and just smash some of their faces in. You know, I listening to Randy Rhoads' show the other night, and she had Scott Ritter on there, and he was talking about the effects of what will happen if they persist in this nonsense. And, of course, you know, and he was right on before with the weapons and all of that kind of stuff, and then he was talking about Iran, and he was talking about the fact that they had offered a resolution 3 or 4 years ago. And the fact that I'm going to call her Condoleezza because she is, she denied the fact that that even happened. And it just, you know, and he was also talking about, he's just fed up with, you know, Americans and their pious attitude and this cavalier attitude that they just want to go attack another country. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, I'm just sick of it. And I was listening to another talk show, and he was playing a caller's previous call, and this woman called in one of these Jesus freaks, and he was asking her whether or not we should, what should we do, and she was responding that, oh, well, we should just go nuke him.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then he was going on about...
I heard that in the Vietnam era, too. They used to talk about the way to win Vietnam... The Vietnam War was to turn North Vietnam into glass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the fact of the matter is, and then he was kind of going on, and of course, you know, it was, and by the way, I think that you were right, it was Schultz, and you were right what you were saying about him being a phony.
Oh, yeah.
I don't trust him.
No.
And what he was saying, something about, well, the question should be asked or be posed or put out there. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, you know, these people are coming out here with such a, this cavalier attitude, and the fact of the matter is, it is going to be worse with Iran because those people are not going to sit still and just be bombed into submission like what happened with Iraq.
That's right.
That's just not going to happen.
That's right.
They are going to retaliate, and, you know, I think that, you know, if that happens, I think that the only way that that's going to hit that people here are going to understand at least these some of these Jesus freaks is when they can't go fill up their big SUVs anymore. When it's going to cost them $10 a gallon to go get gas. I mean, I just, you know, I'm just to the point where I just want to just smash somebody's face in with a brick.
Ooh.
I mean, the next time that I hear somebody say that, I just, you know, we went through this with Iraq.
Well, see, that's, let me say, Scott, that's one of the reasons, for me anyway, that's one of the reasons I have this program. because I usually reach that point about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I usually make it okay up until about 2:30, quarter to 3. And if I have been reading the paper or watching some of the cable news programs, you know, I get to the same level. And, you know, you can't smash people's faces with bricks and have them say, I love you. So
yeah, I know.
You
know,
but that's, no, I'm not lecturing you, man. I'm just saying that's what I think.
You know, and I think, and it's just a little, well, at least now there are some people who are wired, that are awake to it. I remember doing the Iraq run-up, and I got to the point during that time I couldn't even watch the news. I mean, it was just so pathetic. I couldn't watch it. The only thing that I could listen to was NPR because everything was just propaganda stuff. But, you know, when you listen to this stuff, it's kind of like, you know, you just have to disconnect or do something because sure. It'll drive you crazy.
It will. Let me, if you ever have a chance, and you remember this, there's an album you ought to listen to, a comedy album that came out, oh my God, 1,000 years ago. A Southern comedian from Mississippi named Brother Dave Gardner, and he had an album out called You Can't Beat People Up and Have Them Say I Love You. I recommend, if you ever get a chance, Brother Dave Gardner. I doubt if it's in print anymore. I don't know where you'd find it.
I can Google it.
Yeah, Brother Dave Gardner. It was called You Can't Beat People Up and Have Them Say I Love You. And he, for his time, was funny as hell. A white Southern man who was doing comedy that, you know, the crackers and rednecks would all laugh at, but what he was doing was kind of zinging them, and they didn't know it.
Was he kind of like Lenny Bruce?
Without the nasty edge.
Mm.
I don't think Brother Dave ever used curse words. But Brother Dave would zero in on some of the stuff that was going on in this country in the 50s and 60s, and it was incredible. So if you ever get a chance, I'm just saying, you know, Brother Dave Gardner, and he had a bunch of comedy albums out, but this one called You Can't Beat People Up and Have Them Say I Love You was...
I may have heard of it, because, you know, I kind of studied the comics of that era, like Red Fox and Slappy White and Lenny Bruce and stuff.
Check
it out. I think I might have heard him.
If you ever do get it, let me know. Scott, got to go. Thanks for checking in. You have a good evening, pal. We'll be back after the break with your phone calls. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Welcome back. It's 7 past the hour. Ooh-hoo. This is Nova M Radio. I'm Mike Malloy. I should say my name is Mike Malloy. I hate when people say that. I'm so-and-so. Like, big deal. You know, you're supposed to say my name is so-and-so. I'm Charles Lindbergh. Oh, are you really? All right, back to your phone calls. Tim is calling from San Diego. Hey, Tim, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Great show. I think your listenership or whatever it is actually increased since, I'll just say a year ago.
Well, that's the hope.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard you talking about that guy, Dick Cheney, babbling at the run, foaming at the mouth about, you know, then we want to complete the mission.
Yeah.
And to me, there's always that true hidden message. I mean, this is a guy who's joined at the hip with the defense industry. And to me, the hidden message is that the mission is to keep getting hundreds of millions and billions of dollars in contracts for his, you know, the people that he's joined at the hip with, the defense industry. This is the guy that, you know, that's why on Valentine's Day a year ago, this guy was with his boyfriends out hunting.
Yeah.
Instead of being with his lesbian story-writing wife. You know, you know, these guys, Bush and Cheney and Rice, they define diplomacy as what preludes defense contracts for anti-American companies like Halliburton.
Yeah.
You know, until people get it through their head that Halliburton doesn't want to have anything to do with America other than money.
Sure.
You know, people are just going to say, well, you know, we have to have these $5 billion.
Well, you know, I get the impression sometimes, or let me rephrase it, I've come to the clear realization that Dick Cheney is the man that Eisenhower warned us against when he talked about the
military. I agree 100%. Military.
Let me ask you something. When you talk about Dick Cheney's lesbian writing wife, you were also going to say not that there's anything wrong with it, right?
No, we have something called the First Amendment. I value the Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
Right.
I don't use them to try to build a wedge. I'm just, you know, this truth to light type thing. Let it shine. And Mike, you're the kind of guy who, if the Democrats were screwing around and trying to export fascism and calling it democracy, right, you would call the Democrats to task.
Yeah, well,
That's the bottom line.
Yeah, well, that's true. But
yeah, I mean, you know, when I heard you talking about, you know, we got troops, you know, it's kind of hard to be supporting when the whole world is watching us kicking down doors and pointing guns at people's heads and we find out people are pleading guilty to raping 14-year-old girls, et cetera.
Yeah.
You know that. You know that's got the hand of the Shin Bet training behind it.
Somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, that's vicious, vicious, malicious, and everything else behind it. Callousness, and it's Old Testament doctrine type stuff. And we're supposedly a New Testament Christian country. My ass.
All right, thanks for checking in, Tim.
Great show.
All right, appreciate what you had to say. Most of it. No, I don't know. Did I misunderstand, Tim? That's right. That's okay. I mean, you know. Who's up next? It looks like Rick, who is calling from Berwyn, Illinois. Hey, Rick.
Evening.
How you doing?
Mike, it's been a long time.
Used to call in when I was in Chicago.
Yes.
Yeah, all right.
I was a Katrina evacuee and rode the storm out there. That was a rush.
I'll bet it was.
But anyway, you know, by the way, today was the second day in a row that there was a gas explosion. The truck explosion was yesterday. Today,
yeah,
the car.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. I either picked up on the second one or I picked up the story on the second one, right?
And now, of course, they're expecting a bunch of copycat and more explosions to come up, along with everything else.
Yeah, well, really, Bush, you know, this is the legacy of this pig in the White House. George is providing one of the most fertile training grounds for terrorism in the history, in the bloody history of terrorism. He's
well, Mike, really, the realistic thing is that the terrorists are in Washington. I mean, that's where the terrorists are. And
that's very true. That's true.
The reality, I also think, is that the real global coalition is the one that is working with the insurgency. They're stronger now than they were 3 years ago. I mean, if you look at how much more, you know, we have the air power still. That's the only thing saving our troops from total massacre is the air cover.
Mm-hmm.
But they're getting more organized. You know, they've got the Russian missiles. You've got, of course, a bunch of the Mideast countries. You know, Blair is desperate to get out of there. You know, it's all there. But I mean, they're getting stronger, and I think in a way, the world is going to benefit, including us, including Americans, when this thing is over with. Because
you think we're going to benefit?
Because the reality is that Bush, America's going to get defeated in Iraq. It has no chance of winning. The coalition is, I mean, the resistance is stronger there.
Right. We've already been defeated, just like we were defeated the moment we made the first landing in South Vietnam.
Right. And, you know, when I after the Democratic election, about 3 days after the election this past November, an old a phrase from an old Who song came to mind. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think for us to generate some real political change in this country, it's going to take Bush's extremism and the defeat of the U.S. in Iraq for us to have an opening as an American people to generate change to the better for this country.
Well, I agree with what you're saying, and I'm glad you said it. Thanks for checking in, Rick. Stay in touch, okay?
I will.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. Regarding part of what Rick was talking about there, Monday's press briefing, Tony Snow. I don't know what is more disturbing, the fact that Al-Qaeda is stronger than ever, and the Taliban, or the fact that the Bush crime family doesn't seem to know whether or not it's true. One day they've got Al-Qaeda on the run, right? The next day they flip 180 degrees and say Al-Qaeda is gathering forces. Do they have any correct intel ever? On Monday, reporters said to Tony Snow, Tony, were reports yesterday correct that the Al-Qaeda leadership has, to at least some extent, reasserted its command and control ability?
Look, you've got an enemy like Al-Qaeda that's committed to trying to figure out some way to wage war against the United States and against civilized states. And so...
But that doesn't answer it. They, in fact, reorganized to the extent that the leadership now has much more effective command and control.
Well, that's where I'm not going to... I've given you a general answer because I'm not going to get into specific matters of intelligence from the podium.
Okay. Does the president still believe that Al-Qaeda leadership is on the run?
Depends. Let me put it this way. It is a significant... A significant terror threat. We're aware of it. And it's one of the reasons why the president early on began trying to put together tools that not only were going to enable him to fight Al-Qaeda, but future presidents to fight Al-Qaeda. The terror surveillance program, the Patriot Act.
Lastly, is there more danger now given their of a terrorist attack, given what they've
done? I don't
know.
And that's not the kind of thing that I think would be appropriate for me to try to render.
Yeah, because you know the answer, you half-witted freak. Is there more danger now of a terrorist attack? Why, of course. Bush has created conditions that are going to be dogging Americans and causing Americans to die for the foreseeable future and beyond. With very little, even when the troops come home, which they'll have to do at some point to protect the borders of this country, and I'm not talking about from workers, I'm talking about from the people that Bush is creating. It's incredible. Incredible what this man has done. Oh, you found it. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Molloy.
Conservatives used to claim that liberal talk was doomed to fail in the marketplace of ideas. We do. And look at us now. Nova M is proud to report that not only are we surviving,
but thriving.
San Francisco, Seattle, Sacramento, South Florida, Sirius Satellite Radio, and our home city of Phoenix are already on the list of believers, and we've only just begun to grow. Freedom is on the march.
If by freedom, you mean us.
What can you do to help? The best thing is to join our Founders Club. Your $100 yearly subscription helps ensure that we'll reach our goal of bringing Nova M to everyone.
And that would be a very good thing.
Plus, it gives you total access to our podcast. podcast library.
And a chance to win $10,000.
Log on to NovaMRadio.com to find out more.
No purchase necessary. Must be 18 or older to enter and win. Official rules available at 824 East Washington and Phoenix, Arizona, or online at NovaMRadio.com.
Remember when liberal talk was doomed to fail?
Neither do we.
We are the Nova M Radio Network.
Do you know the secret to reading 1,000% faster? That's right, the secret that could allow you to read 10 books in the time it takes others to read one. Hi, I'm Steve Glick, CEO of Infinite Mind. I'd like to send you a free demo of this secret, developed by a leading expert in brain function. Experience with this free demo the secret to reading 1,000% faster. Call now to try this demo absolutely free. Imagine how reading 10 times faster could help your whole family. Kids do better in school, teens can actually score higher on their college entrance exams, and busy adults can gain that ever-important edge at work. This free demo is only available for a limited time. Call now. Just think how reading 10 times faster could improve your life and the life of your family.
Call now to try this demo absolutely free. Dial 1-800-771-8424. That's 1-800-771-8424. 1-800-771-8424.
You're listening to the Nova M Radio Network. This is Ian Huff, engineer and associate producer. Apologize, seems to be having a technical difficulty. I'm trying to figure out exactly what's going on at this moment. Kathy has asked me to hold on everything here, and I do apologize for the inconvenience for all our affiliates and for everyone listening. It's actually the first time I've had a chance to ever speak on the air, so I do apologize for the technical difficulty, and as soon as I know what's going on, we will get Mike back here just momentarily. You're listening to the Nova M Radio Network. I apologize for the technical difficulty. We're going to go ahead and play some commercial messages right at this moment. Please stand by, and I'll bring you more information as I have it.
What if I told you that you could put up a brand new building and save up to half the cost and up to half the time as similar conventional construction? It probably sounds too good to be true. Well, just by picking up the phone, I can prove it to you. If you need retail, office, or warehouse space, or if your church or school wants to expand and save money, you need General Steel. Call today, and we'll prove to you that your new building can go up in about half the time, and you'll save up to half the cost. Dial 1-800-224-1391. We'll help you customize your building. You choose the size. You can even add the look of brick, stucco, or stone to achieve the look you want.
If you still think this sounds too good to be true, then pick up the phone and call. The information is free when you call 1-800-224-1391. Call General Steel and find out how you can put up a brand new building in about half the time and save up to half the cost of similar conventional construction. Call now, 1-800-224-1391. 1-800-224-1391.
Do you know the difference between the millions of millionaires in this country and you? Simple. They decided they wanted to be millionaires, so they went out and did it. So, do you want to be a millionaire? If the answer is yes, then get ready to write down a number that could change your life forever. Because now you can get a free CD that shows you everything you need to start making the kind of money you deserve with an internet business that virtually runs itself. So you're making cash even while you're sleeping by selling products you don't have to see, store, or even pay for. There are millions of millionaires out there. Don't you want to be one of them? Get the free CD from Internet Speedway and start making money with an internet business that virtually runs itself. For your free CD, call 1-800-322-1235. Deciding to be wealthy is the first step to becoming wealthy. Call now, 1-800-322-1235. The free CD is yours by calling 1-800-322-1235.
Investments and securities involve the risk of loss.
You may not think of yourself as being affluent. You may not think of yourself as a high net worth investor. But it doesn't matter what kind of car you drive or the home you live in. If your investments are $500,000 or more, you're a high net worth investor. And one thing we know about you is that there are 8 common mistakes high net worth investors can make without even knowing it. We're Fisher Investments, and we've put together a special free report just for you. It's called The 8 Biggest Mistakes Investors Make and How to Avoid Them. It's yours free just for calling 1-800-909-4432. Just avoiding any one of these mistakes could help you better reach your goals now and over time. As your portfolio grows and changes, strategies need to grow and change. That's why this is valuable information you must see. For your free copy of the 8 Biggest Mistakes Investors Make and How to Avoid Them, pick up the phone now. Call 1-800-909-4432. That's 1-800-909-4432.
You're listening to the Nova M Radio Network. My name is Ian Huff, engineer and associate producer of the Mike Malloy Show. Do apologize for the technical difficulty. Kathy, we have about 10 seconds left of this segment, and we will find out what's going on, and stay tuned. You're listening to the Nova M Radio Network, 27 minutes past the hour. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll be back. You're listening to the Nova M Radio Network. Due to technical difficulties, the rest of the evening will be a best of Mike Malloy. We do apologize. Tune in tomorrow night.
Don't go to bed angry. Let Mike Malloy do it for you on Nova M Radio.
Back to your phone calls. RW is calling from Chattanooga. Hey, RW.
Hey, Tennessee Bureau Chief checking in.
Yes, indeed.
Well, it turns out it's kind of fortuitous that you're talking about the 676, because the chimp that walks like a man is expected to come visit Chattanooga tomorrow morning. He's going to be at a hospital, so he's going to make some sort of health care announcement. And then he's going to hit the Trade Center. But you're going to really love this. The local head of the Hamilton County Republican Party asked all the faithful, you know, the party faithful to show up and show their support of the president, bring a flag, and they get, and get this. Make sure it'd be even better if it was the one that was on a casket of a fallen soldier.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just couldn't believe that kind of nonsense. And it's just oh, I don't know. I just don't know what. Just nonsense. You know, and the way they use our people.
I know, and continue to use the American flag, the American soldier's uniform, the American soldier himself or herself. These people are the most dishonorable group, RW, that I honest to God, that I think ever infested the executive branch of government. It's just, it's an outrage. And they're here to stay. They're not going to go away. They're not going away.
I don't know. Well, there's only this one thing that kind of scares me about the Iran situation is because you know, Scott Ritter pointed out if we do hit Iran and oil goes to $200 or $300, you know, dollars a barrel, there's going to be social, you know, social uprisings in this country, and I think that's when they're going to, you know, use that excuse. You know, that's what scares me about the whole situation.
That's when they use the excuse to start locking up Americans in detention centers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing I've heard. Otherwise, I think they're going to, you know, unless they pull that out of that, you know, the hat, I don't see how they're going to hold on power in the presidency. And they have been reduced to a regional southern power politically. And hopefully, if the Democrats show some courage, I mean, I'm getting to doubt that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because of recently what Hillary's been saying about the war, it's just like, what?
Yeah, I know. I don't know where to turn sometimes either. I really don't. It's almost like it's, you know, it's 10 minutes after the end of the fourth quarter. The game's over, and, you know, it's time to turn the lights out and go home. You know, I hate to say that, because if I'd start believing that, then I really will give up, and I really will leave the United States and go live somewhere else. And I'm not at that point yet, but sometimes it feels that way. It just feels like, you know, what the hell happened in six very short years? Now, I realize it started before this pig Bush stole the office of the presidency with the help of the Supreme Court. I know there were some cracks in the Constitution that were certainly put there by Reagan during Iran-Contra, certainly put there by Pappy Bush, and certainly put there by Bill Clinton. But this guy comes along with these neocon murderers, these Soviet-style Nazis, if that's a proper term, and just in a bum's rush, you talk about telescoping time. In six short years, they have done, the Bush administration has done to this country constitutionally what you wouldn't imagine would ever happen in the United States of America.
I know, it's amazing.
It is.
And people just turn around and they're like, and they're not. And I just, I don't know what to say about the so-called faithful and your friends and neighbors who, they know what's going on, but they just choose not to notice. And I cannot understand for the life of me how they can choose not to notice. I mean, my God, you know.
Well, there is precedent here, R.W. There is precedent here. You know, when I was a kid growing up, we in our school, especially. History classes, we always had the question, and I never got a sufficient answer, what were the German people doing during the 30s? You know, how did they allow such an evil a person as Adolf Hitler to come to power and do what he did? And here's our answer. I mean, here's the answer. How does a monstrous regime reach the absolute apex of power? How did Hitler do it? We know how Stalin did it, but how did Hitler do it? There was no revolution in Germany like there was in Russia, which became the Soviet Union. Hitler did it legally, just so to speak, just like this son of a bitch Bush is doing it legally, so to speak.
You're in the same region as I am.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
You're North Georgia. I'm in South Tennessee.
Right.
You know all the militia nuts that are out there screaming and hollering, Bill Clinton's going to stake our rights. Bill Clinton.
Oh, my God. Yes, I know.
and now, where are they? They were going to take to the streets. They were going to do this. They were going to do that.
Yeah,
are these cowards?
Yeah. Well, there you go. They are where cowards always go. They're hiding behind their mommy's skirts. That's where they go, I guess.
I think we need to do maybe try some. You know, we need to put some backbone in these Democrats. We need to write our congressmen and senate, all of them. And I think maybe we ought to just sit down and write a letter to the Pentagon and say, hey, you're patriot. There's some patriots in there. You know, this guy's a nutball. You know, show some resistance.
I got an email tonight from somebody suggested maybe a certain cadre of upper echelon military commanders in the Pentagon have signed some sort of a loyalty oath to Bush, and that's why they are saying like this half-wit in that I was quoting earlier, the guy who the naval vice admiral who is saying that Iran is doing things that are antagonistic and bellicose. My God, Iran is? You know. All right. Well, listen, R.W., stay in touch until the lights go out, okay?
All right.
All right,
no
R.W.
Problem.
All right, appreciate it. Take care. Gloria in San Francisco wrote this to me. She said, Mike, I don't think this is about where's Nancy Pelosi's name on that list of co-sponsors for universal health care. Mike, I don't think Speaker Nancy Pelosi is allowed to co-sponsor legislation. Even though she's an elected Democrat, she is Speaker of the entire House, not just the Democratic majority. I read this somewhere, so check it out. Blah, blah, blah. Good to see you back on the Quake. Gloria in San Francisco. All right, well, there are so many areas of the intricacies of governance that I am just of which I'm totally ignorant. And that, okay, I'll, somebody will check that out. Maybe I will. Maybe that's the reason that Nancy Pelosi's name is not on the list of co-sponsoring this legislation. If that's the case, so be it. It was just stunning to me to not see her name on that list and to come to the conclusion that it was just not something that she felt politically safe in doing. If that's not the case, man, do I stand corrected and apologize for assuming that Nancy Pelosi would not sign on to that legislation. Maybe she is prohibited from doing so. Thanks for sending that in. Another mistake on the Malloy program. Jesus. Mike is calling from Chicago. Mike, welcome to the program.
What's going on, Mike?
Don't
you find it a little convenient that the week Prince Harry is supposed to go to Iraq, all of a sudden they're leaving?
there is a little bit of possible coincidence there, maybe. Yeah.
You know what? I just want to let you know, I wrote to Mirtha and Barack, your last caller just called, and I just pretty much told them, why not propose a bill to the Senate saying that until this hillbilly puts back every penny that he cut from the Veterans Fund, they don't give him a dime for this escalation. So this way, if Bush says no, he looks like the bad guy, and Sean Insanity's out there can't say that the Democrats don't care about the troops, because this is exactly why they're doing it.
Yeah, well, that's a good point.
Yeah. Well, anyways, the reason I was calling was this was a blip on the radar, and because I'm in Chicago, Scalia's daughter lives out here in Wheaton, and she got busted for a DUI with her three kids in the van.
Yeah, I read about that the other day. Boy, did that story drop off the radar screens.
Yeah,
just like, boom!
Yeah, this was in Thursday's paper, and I just noticed it yesterday, and I'm like, oh, well, yeah, I guess, you know, the liberal media out there, they forgot to cover this, right?
Yeah, now, this Scalia woman endangers herself and God knows who else and three children. And it doesn't get reported, but Jesus Christ, let this poor, sad, what's the blonde woman who just died, Anna Nicole Smith.
Oh.
You can't get away from it.
Yeah, and you know, today when they were talking about that Building 18 at the Veterans Place, you know, CNN's covering it, MSNBC's covering it, you flip over to the bad channel, and they're showing, you know, Britney getting her haircut.
Well,
and I'm just like, no.
Well, don't forget, anybody associated with Fox, whether as a performer or a listener, is a half-witted fool. Remember that study that showed the people who listen to Fox television or radio or Hannity or any of those morons were so far off the target on what was reality and what was not reality as to render their decisions totally meaningless.
Yeah.
Hannity and Limbaugh and Savage and the rest of these people, they are nothing more than propagandists who spew this stuff out.
And Carl Cameron's wife works for the Bush campaign. I mean, isn't there a conflict of interest there somewhere?
No.
Well, anyways, Mike, I hope your vacation was good. I'll let you go. I know you got 15 minutes left.
All right.
But I'll check in again with you.
Take care, Mike.
Okay.
I appreciate your call.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Shirley is calling from Tennessee. Oh, wait. Shirley, hold on, because I got to take a break here. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. To kill or to make. Just changing the game. Men who were fighting for all of our lives are now fighting for children, for homes and for wives, fighting for the
Nighty night, truth seekers. Time to snuggle up with your favorite screamer, more Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. Okay, let me clear up something I was trying to clear up. Apparently, a Speaker of the House can co-sponsor legislation. Reggie over at TV News Lies sent me a list here of bills co-sponsored by Dennis Hastert when he was the Speaker. And there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, next page. So we're back to square one, right? Thanks, Reg, I appreciate it. We're back to square one. Nancy Pelosi could co-sponsor the legislation to end this health care debacle in this country, and she hasn't. So, maybe it's time to ask the Speaker some questions. I really feel wrung out tonight. It's very seldom that we have stories of this magnitude. The impending invasion and murder of Iran. The declaration by a United States appellate court today that habeas corpus did not apply to George Bush and the murderous sons of bitches around him who can scoop up anybody they want, do anything they want to them, up to and including torture and execution, with no legal representation whatsoever. God, I can't. And then the story started by the Washington Post for in immediate time. I realized that TVNewsLies.org had this, and a lot of subsequent follow-ups to what is happening to American soldiers when they come back. But the Washington Post kind of ripped the lid off of everything. And to have stories of that sickening magnitude, I don't know. I almost get consumed with the rage. I really do. Oh, well, it's not a good thing to do, to get that crazed. Thanks to our engineer in Phoenix, Ian Huff, who also handled your phone calls. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. And thanks to Mark Marshall, our webmaster, and the moderators at MikeMalloy.com on the message board. And if you get a chance or are so inclined, go to NovamRadio.com and sign up for downloads and podcasts and a chance to win $10,000. The executive producer of this program is Catherine Bay. I think we have time for another phone call or two. Shirley is calling from Tennessee. Hey, Shirley. Hey, Shirley. Shirley's there somewhere. Shirley?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, welcome to the program.
Hi. I'm in Knoxville, Tennessee right now.
Uh-huh.
Anyhow, the reason for my call is you were talking about the national health care.
Right.
And you were also talking about the soldiers not having health care. What about taking the money from the soldiers' health care, putting it into the national health care, shifting them to the national health care so that they get decent insurance?
I'm sure there are all sorts of ways to do it. That may be one of them, Shirley. But as long as there are Republicans who have any power whatsoever to stop it, it will be stopped. Republicans.
But couldn't we say, okay, then you're not supporting the soldiers then?
Oh, who's going to listen? Hannity or Limbaugh or some of these people would come on the air the next day and say to their brain dead listeners, don't listen to that. There are probably several ways to get national health care. What you're suggesting may be one of them. But the fact remains that as long as Republicans are a political force in this country, either in the Congress or in the voting booth, there will never be national health care. Republicans do not want health care. Even middle class, I said it earlier tonight, middle class or working class Republicans with a sick child and no health care would rather see their own child die than vote for national health care, because their elected representative, Republican, or their minister, or whomever has their brains, tells them that national health care is communism or socialism or God doesn't want it or whatever nonsense you're being told. So I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say.
I know. It's hard. It's really, really hard. And it seems like we just keep hitting our heads up against a brick wall with all of this.
Yeah, I hear you loud and clear. All right. Thanks for checking in, Shirley. I appreciate it. Bob is calling from Seattle. Bob, welcome to the program. We don't have very much time. I'm sorry. Hey, Bob. Is Bob there? I guess Bob isn't there. All right. How about Mark in New Mexico? Hey, Mark. Okay, we can't get Mark either. Are you there, Mark?
I'm there. I'm here.
Okay, there you go. Okay.
Hey, Mike. Nice to talk to you. I've listened to you for a long, long time. I travel for a living, so late at night, you get as mad as you get. But what I would like to say is, you know, has this administration or anybody in Congress or Senate on the Republican side ever done anything nice for anybody? They've screwed the Christians. They've screwed the veterans. I get enraged like you do. I can't understand that these people don't see that they're just getting kicked in the teeth every time they turn around.
I don't get it either. I don't. I wish I did. Hey, listen, I've got bad news, pal. We're flat out of time. Call back later on the week, and I'll put you on, and we'll chat, okay?
All right. Take care.
All right, Mark. Appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow night, True Seekers. Okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is NOVAM Radio.